This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope and pray that everyone is doing really well, inshallah ta'ala. And today we're dressed up a little bit nicer. I don't know if I wasn't dressed up nicely in the previous days. I think I was, but still. Different style. And that's because we're going to be talking about some verses today that are related to clothing, sort of, right? Dressing appropriately and being presentable and so on and so forth. But we are tonight beginning the eighth juz, right? And the eighth juz is interesting because that means that we've technically completed 1 week of the month of Ramadan. So 1 week of the month of Ramadan has already passed, and tonight we get into the eighth night, which means one quarter of the month of Ramadan is already gone. There's only three quarters left. So it goes fast, alhamdulillah, and for those of us who have been thinking, you know what, this month is going to be very long, before you know it, it's going to be over. So as we mentioned, like one quarter gone, three quarters left, and in a few days we're going to be saying one third is gone already, and then a few days later we'll be saying one half of the month of Ramadan is over, and then 5 days later we'll be saying we're in the last 10 nights, and that's it, right? Once we're in the last 10 nights, we know that the month flies by. And so the first week is usually the longest week, and then after that the month of Ramadan just, you know, disappears before our eyes. So now's the time for us to sacrifice. Now's the time for us to strive really hard. Now's the time for us to push a little bit harder. I'm not saying push your hardest. Now's the time to just slowly increase by a notch, right? To just take it up a little bit. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself would not exert himself to the fullest or to his fullest capacity within the first 10 days of Ramadan. In fact, he used to take it gradual, the first 10 nights, and then he would look for, you know, more benefit in the middle middle 10 nights, and then find that full amount of benefit in the last 10 nights because Laylatul Qadr is found there. And so when we strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to make sure that we don't burn out halfway through. And this happens when people go for Hajj, right? Or they go for Umrah. They're super passionate, super zealous. When we get there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go, no sleep, we're just going to go. And then if they just get a little bit of a cough or a slight cold, or they feel extremely, extremely tired because of the heat and they're not used to the heat of the desert, you know, all of a sudden, all that passion and energy that I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that and I planned to do so many things just disappears, and now, subhanAllah, it's all gone. So we need to make sure that we gradually increase in our ibadat throughout this month of Ramadan. And this is where I'm going to remind us now to just take it up one notch. We were in first gear for the first week. Now we need to move into second gear. Okay, second gear means if you haven't already established your routine throughout this month of Ramadan, now's the time to do it, okay? So if you haven't already established your schedule, when you plan on doing things or what you plan on doing, then make sure that you start to, that you finalize that from now, okay? We're going to jump right into it. Like I mentioned yesterday, we'll give a little more time at the end for Q&A. And I see our brother Abdul Rashid already asking some questions. But what we're going to be doing is taking the questions at the end, inshallah, because if I open it up now, we'll spend the whole hour answering questions, okay? So we'll take our verses of the Quran, and then we'll give a good 10, maybe 15 minutes, inshallah ta'ala, to answering some questions. All right, so let's begin with verse number 125 of Surah Al-An'am. Verse number 125 of Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whom He wills and misguides whom He wills. This is the message that we're learning here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us this really powerful message here. And this is for us to ask ourselves, are you going to believe or are you not going to believe? And if you're not going to believe, then this is how you're going to feel in this dunya. So he begins by saying, whoever Allah wills to guide, he opens their heart to Islam. يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Our hearts become filled with the happiness of Islam, joy of Islam, and are pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and what the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And then we notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, but whoever he wills to leave astray, he makes their chest tight and constricted as if they were climbing up into the sky. First of all, look at this. This is really interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, through the angel Jibreel. We know that, right? So he reveals this ayah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what's interesting is, how do they know that going up into the sky, the pressure is going to be different than it is on earth or down, at sea level, for example, and it is going to be more difficult to breathe. Now, of course, they had mountains, and not too far from Mecca was Ta'if, and that goes up into the mountains. And you'll notice that anyone who's not used to traveling much, the moment they begin to travel, they start to feel a little bit of the difficulties of it. First of all, one of the reasons why we feel so much more tired while traveling, and you might ask yourself, but I just slept all night long and I got into the plane and all of a sudden I'm super sleepy and I don't know why. That's because of the pressure change. Now, yes, the airplanes or the cabins are pressurized. However, when you go higher up, it's a change in pressure and your body is slowly adjusting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you really want to understand this, watch, just go and Google or head over to YouTube and check out a video on people who are climbing to the summit of Mount Everest. They need to stop at certain areas and collect oxygen tanks to bring with them to go up to the top. And if they don't have enough oxygen, then they feel really, really hard, or they feel a difficulty in breathing, right? They feel it to be hard to breathe and they need oxygen. And if they don't have enough oxygen, or their bodies are not, trained enough to make it, then they will consume too much of the oxygen that they brought and they won't be able to make it to the summit of Mount Everest. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, right, that those of us who he has allowed to leave and to go astray. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only allows people to go astray, or only allows them to sway away from Islam, because they choose to, right? They chose that for themselves. They chose not to be Muslim. They chose not to inquire about Islam, or they chose to leave Islam. And because of their decision in abandoning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushes them away and allows them to be abandoned, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he makes their chest tight, like it's difficult to breathe. What does that mean? It means you're never going to be happy in this dunya. You will never be pleased. You will always feel anxiety. You will always feel stressed. You will always feel as though something is wrong. And subhanAllah, a simple example, my wife just a few minutes ago, was finishing up doing some work on my computer, and I was just frustrated. I'm like, I don't understand. Why is it always like this? Like, why is it so difficult? SubhanAllah, why? There's always a challenge. And she was just staring at me. I'm like, I look over, I'm like, why are you staring at me? And she says, the people of Ta'if treated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the people of Mecca treated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot worse than how you're describing your issue. So why are you complaining? And I was like, okay, fine. You're right. SubhanAllah. Who are we to complain? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through so much worse than that, right? And so, yes, at times we feel stuck and we feel difficulty in our lives. But remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us, he went through tests that we can't even imagine going through. And he taught us the recipe to get through it, which is ibadah and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we move on, my brothers and sisters, Let's move to verse number 141. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here not to waste and not to be extravagant in what we have and the things that we use and the things that we consume. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ I actually just want to cover the last part of the verse, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. So he says, he's the one who produces gardens, both cultivated and wild, and, you know, palm trees, crops, different flavors, olives, pomegranates. All of these things are things that, you know, we love. We enjoy. As human beings, we cherish. You know, there's certain things of this dunya that we wish that we could have, and certain things that we do have that we thought at some point in time we would enjoy, but then because we have them so much, we don't enjoy them anymore. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us like olives and pomegranate. I remember when I was a student in Medina, you know, I used to get fresh rumman juice, fresh pomegranate juice. And in my opinion, that's one of the best things that you can drink in the desert because it quenches your thirst. And, you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to grow in Ta'if. Ta'if has some of the best pomegranate in the world, right? You'll find it in Ta'if. And so when you go for Hajj or you go for Umrah and you're in the desert, go to any juice spot. You could order your typical like banana and cocktail and orange juice and stuff like that, but try it, right? Just try pomegranate juice and how you'll notice that it quenches your thirst and it's so beautiful. Yeah, it's a little bit bitter. Sometimes it can be, you know, somewhat bitter, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it for us on earth as something that we can enjoy. Not only do you enjoy drinking it, you cut the peel of the pomegranate open. And you know, just pull it apart and all you see is these beautiful little rubies, right? They're ruby red and they look like rubies. It's absolutely amazing. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for us in that? Beautiful flavor, beautiful juice, beautiful nutrition, beautiful energy that we get from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us on earth. And so he says he's provided all of these things for us, right? He's given us these gardens, given us these beautiful things that we enjoy. And he says to eat it, right? Eat of the fruit and pay the dues of at harvest, right? Making sure that we're paying our zakah. And then he says, but do not waste, right? The last part of the ayah, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not waste, right? MashaAllah, someone's saying, and in Istanbul, and in Pakistan too. Yes, but Sister Saima, what we love from Pakistan more than the pomegranate is the mangoes. So we're waiting for that mango season to come very soon, inshallah. Hopefully we get those beautiful imports coming, maybe just around the time of Eid or after that, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kulu, eat, right? Eat from the thamarat, the beautiful fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us on earth. But then he says, but don't be wasteful. What we notice in 2020, many of us, you know, you go shopping, you buy things, you bring it home, it sits on the counter or sits in the fridge, and a few days later, it ends up in the organics bin or it ends up in the garbage because it got rotten, it got spoiled. If that's happening to us, that is a clear sign that you probably need to adjust a lot of things in your lifestyle. What I mean by this is, if we are allowing food that rots to actually rot in our homes, then we are probably allowing things like clothing to sit there for too long. You know, stuff that is stashed in the cupboard that doesn't need to be there. There's probably some cans of food, right? Non-perishable foods maybe sitting there that have already expired, right? So it's important for us to check up on these things and make sure, my brothers and sisters, that we are not from the people that waste, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who waste anything. It doesn't only apply to food. It could be a waste of water. It could be a waste of time. It could be a waste of clothing. It could be a waste of resources of whatever sort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love that. Then we move on to verse number 160 of Surah Al-An'am. We'll do 160 to 163. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever comes with a good deed. So you want to do a good deed? For example, here, this is how easy it is to do a good deed. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to clean your teeth. And it's also permissible while you're fasting. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that, that we sacrifice our food and stuff, and He prefers that we, you know, stay away from our food and drink for the sake of seeking nearness to Him. And yes, it is mentioned that the scent of the mouth of the person who's fasting is like musk, better than the scent of musk, to according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to still clean your teeth and to make sure that your mouth is fresh, especially when you're beginning salah. So, if you're going to do this, that's it. Just, that's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are rewarded for it, right? So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever does a simple good deed, here's another good deed. I want every single one of you watching to do this. Are you ready? All right, do this. Smile. Just smile. Because the smile that you're doing on your face, that you put on your face right now, even though you're not, I might not be seeing it, but maybe someone around is seeing it and they're like, man, what's wrong with these people, right? Or you might see me smile and you enjoy it, right? I'm not saying that you like my smile. I don't really find my smile to be a nice smile, but the smile is something that brings happiness. It brings joy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, at-tabassum sadaqah. And so the smiles that we put on our faces is a sadaqah. It makes people feel good, right? They're happy. They're enjoying the fact that we are happy. They're happy. They get to feel that goodness. And all we had to do is just make our mouths go from to, right? It's just that simple. And so it's a sadaqah. So the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, whoever does a good deed, فَلَهُ عَشُرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that 10 times. It will be multiplied 10 times. So you do another good deed. Subhanallah. Say it. Subhanallah. Say, Allahu Akbar. If you're at home as children, you might want to do that, right? Try to imitate me. I know parents sometimes can be a little bit boring, right? Adults can be boring. They sit there and they're like, listen to what he's saying. And then when he says, okay, parents, make sure you smile. They're like, chalo, smile. Right? And they're telling you to smile, but they're frowning, right? So I know I'm an adult. Sometimes as adults, it's difficult for us, right? For us to do what we're being asked to do. But here, we need to try it. Allahu Akbar. Did you do it? Try something else. La ilaha illallah. Did you do that? Because that's a good deed. Or Astaghfirullah. Or you can recite something from the Quran, right? Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. You know, when you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas once, you get the reward of one third of the Quran. So for example, if you were to recite one third of the Quran, you can get the rewards of that recitation by reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas. So if you recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, which is Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, if you recite it three times, it's as though you recited the whole Quran. Did you know that? Subhanallah. Now, imagine you do that as a good deed, solely for the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to recite this because I want to get rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for doing this. And Allah, you tell us in the Quran, whoever does good deeds, right? Whoever presents a good deed, you multiply it by 10. And so imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the reward of reciting the Quran, because you recited it three times, and then that is multiplied by 10. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's amazing, isn't it? right? Allahu Akbar. You just got the reward of reciting the Quran how many times? 10 times. Now, it's the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to multiply our rewards, our good deeds. And so he multiplies them up to 700 times. And even more. And so when you think of it, the amount of rewards that we get for doing one good deed can be mind-boggling. But let's look at the rest of the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and says, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَهُ فَلَا يُجْزَى وَمَنْ جَاءَ Fasting. This is mushkila, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever comes with a sin, like whoever now does a bad deed, will be punished for only one bad deed. It is not multiplied. It is not added. There's nothing that is additional to it, except for the fact that we committed one sin. It is written down as one sin. And in fact, that sin is not even written down yet, because the angel that's right here, I know for you, it probably looks like it's my right shoulder, but this is my left shoulder, right? The angel that's here is writing down all the bad things that we do or say, right? And so this angel has been given the command by Allah to write the bad things, but not to write them immediately, to wait. So the sins that we commit are not written down immediately. There's a time frame that is waited by the angel to see if, after we committed the sin, are we going to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if we do, there's no need for him to write it down. There's no need for the angel to write it down. And so look at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He then says, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي Say, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surely my Lord has guided me to the straight path, a perfect way, the faith of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the upright, who was not one of the polytheists. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Say, surely my prayer, my worship, my life, my death are all for Allah, Lord of the worlds. Everything that we do is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, when we think of it, the good deeds that we do are multiplied sometimes to a mind-boggling amount of good deeds and rewards. And the sins that we commit are written as one sin, but delayed if we seek forgiveness, not even written down. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us to say to others, and also for us to acknowledge and understand that قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي my salah, my prayer, وَنُسُكِي a perfect way, my worship, right? وَمَحْيَايَ my life, وَمَمَاتِي and my death are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I worship for Allah. I pray for Allah. I stand for Allah. As in, I do it for the sake of Allah. I don't do it because Allah needs it. I do it because I need it and I want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My life is for Allah. My death is for Allah. It's not for this dunya. The money, the wealth and stuff that we get, we'll get it. Whatever we got, we got. Whatever we're going to lose, we're going to lose. Alhamdulillah. At the end of the day, we are not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. And so my brothers and sisters, everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La sharika lah. There is no partner. He has no partners in ibadah, in worship. So I am commanded, and so I am the first to submit. So we need to follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We move on to the next surah, Suratul A'raf. This surah is interesting. It is known as the heights, or those who are elevated, right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in the very beginning of the surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Mim Saad. كتاب أنزل إليك فلا يكن في صدرك حرج منه لتنذر به وذكرى للمؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim Sad. For those who don't know, these are the disjointed letters. There's no meaning that we are aware of to these letters. There may be a meaning that is left with Allah, but the meaning for us, we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't try to interpret it. Alif Lam Mim Sad. Kitabun, this book, was sent down to you, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and of course, from him to us, right? Do not let anxiety into your heart regarding it. Don't feel that this Quran is too much. Don't feel like you're terrible. Don't feel like, oh, when Allah talks about things, that's me. Allah mentions this, that's me. How am I going to be successful in the hereafter if everything I read through in the Quran, it's showing, oh, you're like this and you're like that. I'm such a terrible person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, do not let anxiety into your heart regarding it. It's an easy book to understand. In it, there is hope. In it, there is a reminder. And there is also stern warnings and mention of punishments in it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so with it, you may warn the disbelievers and as a reminder, use it as a reminder for the believers. Yeah. That's the downside to streaming from home. Right. Is it more than that? Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that this book, the Kitab, the Quran, I remember at the beginning of the month of Ramadan, I told everyone to keep your Mus'haf, keep your Quran with you, in front of you, wherever you go. Make sure that you bring it from room to room to room throughout this month of Ramadan. If you go, except for the bathroom, of course, right? I know some smart children are sitting there going, hey, he didn't realize that, right? My children are probably sitting downstairs going, saying that, right? But bring your Quran with you, your Mus'haf with you. If you're going from your bedroom to the living room, bring it with you and put it in front of you on the coffee table. You'll see it and pick it up and be like, I got to read my page. And you read a page and then you'll sit down, you'll be doing something else. And then you realize, hey, I have a few minutes. Let me pick it up and read another page. And so you read another page. And before you know it, half the month of Ramadan is gone and you've almost completed the Quran. It's just that easy. So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us this book. There's a lot in it, right? There's a lot in it. However, don't consider this to be something that's too heavy upon you. Don't make it like, oh, you know, I'm going to have an anxiety attack because there's too much. The Quran was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam over a span of 23 years. 23 years. That's like 1.5 juz per year. When you think of that, that's like 30 pages a year. Now, if I was to memorize 30 pages a year, what's 30 pages a year? That's like one page every 2 weeks. We technically could be a hafiz of the Quran by the end of our lives if we really, really wanted to and tried to, right? But the problem with us is that we don't want to dedicate so much of our time to it because it's monotonous. It takes a lot of time. It takes energy, right? It's strenuous. It's strenuous on the mind. For anyone who thinks, oh, it's easy to memorize the Quran, put your mind to it and see, subhanAllah, once you finish memorizing it, now you need to retain it. How are you going to retain it? And one of the best ways to memorize and retain the Quran is to stay away from sin, because the more sins that we commit, the more our mind and memory and heart is affected. And so we need to stay away from the sins. And the way to stay away from the sins is to stay with the Quran. When you stay with the Quran, you'll not have time. You will not have time for sins. So my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, look, the Quran is not something to become, you know, nervous or anxious about. Take it easy. The Quran is beautiful. In it are lessons for us. It was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with beautiful advice. Beautiful advice. And take your time with the Quran. Take your time with the Quran. Don't expect to conquer the Quran in a year or even in a month. Those who sit down and memorize the Quran in a month or in 2 months or in 3 months, you know, they push themselves towards it. Eventually, they forget what they memorized. So there has to be constant time. I was sitting with someone who actually runs a school, right? A Quran school, a Hifz school. And he was telling me, he's like, most parents don't realize. They think like you send your parents for 2 years, 3 years, they finish memorizing the Quran, now send them back to school and they're good to go for the rest of their lives. You need to sit with the Quran for a good 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years to get it rock solid. And then you still live with the Quran, right? So yes, you may have finished memorizing it, but the memorization doesn't end there. It continues. And so even in the memorization of the Quran, it takes time. So be patient with it. Be calm with the Quran. Enjoy it. Make it a part of your day. Make the Quran a part of your life. And you'll see how happy you become in this dunya and how happy you'll be in the hereafter. When we see the rewards further than our eyes can see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with that. Yes. That is our creator. That is the reward for the sacrifices that we made in this dunya, my brothers and sisters. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, follow what has been sent down to you from your Lord and do not take others as guardians besides him. How seldom are you mindful, right? Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow what was sent down in the Quran. Stay away from people that call you towards them. People who call you towards them are usually people you need to be careful of. Like if you have a scholar, I won't use any terms because I don't want anyone to say I'm picking on anyone or anything in particular. But a scholar, male or female, who makes you feel like you are insignificant and useless in this world without them, as in you need them in order to get through your life, you need them to be successful in this dunya, be careful of that person. If I ever make you feel that way, then come and advise me. If I have ever said that, then please come and tell me and let me know. Because my brothers and sisters, we need Allah always and forever. And I say this to children, and I say it to parents of children. Parents of children come, and sometimes they say to the teachers in the masjid, they say, you know, we want our children to be like you. For example, the Quran teacher, they'll say, we want our children to be like you. And I always go and correct those parents and say, I would wish that you remind your children that you want them to be like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Quran teacher, the imam, everyone makes mistakes. No one is perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us is perfect. Don't try to be like any other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course, when we look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were amazing people. We try to be like them, but they also looked towards Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be like him. So the ultimate example that we have in this world is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We move on, my brothers and sisters. Verse number 11 to 27. In fact, these are the core verses that I really, really wanted to get into today. Not to spend too much time on them, but just to highlight them to let us know that this is being mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to communicate with Adam, the angels, Iblis, and so on. And that story of Adam and the creation of Adam alayhi salam is mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Surely we created you, then shaped you, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaped us as human beings. Then said to the angels, and of course he's talking about the creation of Adam right now, right? He said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. Usjudu li Adam. Fasajadu. And they all bowed down and prostrated to Adam alayhi salam, except Iblis. Iblis is who? He is the leader of the shayateen, of the devils, right? He is the devil. Iblis, the leader, who refused to prostrate with the others. So he refused to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ what prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you to bow down and prostrate to Adam? Why didn't you? What prevented you? Iblis replies and says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He says, I am better than he is. You created me from fire, and you created him from clay. And we know very well as human beings how, when we think of it, if you have a lighter and you turn the lighter on, and you know, sometimes we do that trick where you just boom, 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 just pass your finger over the flame very quickly, right? It doesn't burn. But then subhanAllah, if you take your hand and you put your hand right above the flame, what happens? You can't do it. It's going to burn, right? And so my brothers and sisters, Iblis is saying this to Allah, I am more powerful than he is. You created him from clay and you created me from fire. Allah then says to him, he says, فَاهْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَاخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. He says to Iblis, then get down from paradise, right? Get out of here. It is not for you to be arrogant here. You are coming before Allah and showing this arrogance. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Right? And that's why we say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Right? So he says, get down from here. It is not for you to be arrogant here. So get out, right? فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. You are truly one of the disgraced. Now Shaytan or Iblis appeals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what he says. He says, أنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then delay my end. Don't destroy me. Don't harm me. Don't end me now. Don't allow me to just die here and now like others, right? When we live our lives, we die when it's over. He says, then delay my end until the day of their resurrection. As in, allow me to be here until all the humans have come and lived on this earth. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Look at how Allah is merciful. He grants him his request. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنذَرِينَ. Allah says, you are delayed until an appointed time. Right? So you've been delayed. You're not going to leave. You'll be here. You have this time on earth now. And then Shaytan says,
فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ.
For leaving me to stray. Look at how he speaks to Allah in such an arrogant, rude, disrespectful way. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for leaving me to stray, to, you know, to get, basically, because you kicked me out of this gathering of the angels, and because you are not happy with me not, or with me refusing to bow down and prostrate to Adam, alayhi salam, he says, for leaving me to stray, I will lie in ambush for them, for humans, in your straight path. Those that are trying to get to you, O Allah, O Rabb, I am going to stand in front of them. This is what Iblis is saying, right? And then he says, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Look at what Iblis says about us. He says, I will approach them from their front. Iblis, Shaytan is trying to get to you. You want to get to Allah? Iblis is like, yeah, but you know what? You got to go here and look at this flashy thing. Look at this bling. Look at that, you know, all these beautiful things in front of you. You're like distracted. You know when you're going for salah and you want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you pull out your phone and you're standing there and you're like, oh, I was supposed to pray now. And you put it away and then, oh man. And you're like, let me just put it on silent. And you spend 5, 10, 15 minutes just about to pray. Shaitan is delaying you from your salah, delaying you from your Quran, even delaying us from iftar. Like, we wait all day to eat sometimes, and you're busy there. I just need to finish this message. You've been fasting for almost 16 hours. Shaitan has gotten a hold of you. And what is it? Shaitan is trapped during Ramadan. And that's why he works on us for 11 months of the year. Because during Ramadan, our nafs, we can't control ourselves. The effects of shaitan are upon us so great that subhanAllah, when we want to come out of that hold of shaitan, we can't. There's too much influence. And that's why we need to prepare ourselves this Ramadan to be good for the rest of the year, to make sure that we are going to stand firm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repel shaitan when he's coming to us. I know I only have like 2 more minutes, inshallah, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. But look at what he says. He says to Allah, I'm going to come to them from their front, from their back, from their right, and from their left. Basically, he's surrounding us with evil. And he says, and then you will find most of them are ungrateful. Most of the human beings, look at what Iblis is saying to Allah about us, about you, about me, about every single one of us. Iblis is saying, you will find that most of them are ungrateful. Subhanallah. And when you think of it, have we been grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today? Have we thanked Allah for being able to fast? Like this year, subhanAllah, this is the first year my parents are not fasting. They're not able to fast. Due to health reasons, they can't fast. And I was thinking of this last night. I'm like, subhanAllah, I used to get up for iftar as a child, like I see my children waking up. And my mom would be busy, you know, preparing the food, and my dad would be cutting something and bringing it from whatever my mom's making, putting it down. He'd be going, waking up my brother, come on, get up. Because my brother used to have a hard time getting up, you know, and subhanAllah, my parents used to be exactly like us now with the energy level and the, you know, the passion and everything. And now they can't fast. Subhanallah. What has happened? Where have our lives gone? Like, time has flown before our eyes. And shaitan has been distracting us so much. Have I been thankful enough to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we have and what we've been given to, or given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We haven't. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَيَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ فَكُلَا مِنْ حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, threw out shaitan, accepted what he requested, allowed him to be deferred to a later time. Then Adam and Hawa are now in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, enjoy. Enjoy yourselves. Eat and drink whatever you want, but see this tree, don't touch this one.
فوسوس لهما الشيطان ليبدي لهما ما وري عنهما من سوآتهما.
Shaitan comes and whispers to Adam and Hawa. If Shaitan is whispering to Adam and Hawa, don't you think Shaitan is going to whisper to us too? Of course. Of course. And those of us who are trying to get closer to Allah and be better Muslims, shaitan is coming to us even stronger, trying to get at us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then shaitan tempts them in order to expose what was hidden of their, you know, their bodies, to reveal. And then he says, your Lord has forbidden his tree to you only to prevent you from becoming angels or immortals. Look at this. Allahu Akbar. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Shaitan is so nasty, so evil, trying to get us to do the worst thing, disobey Allah, and then making us feel like, hey, you know what? Allah maybe wants us to live forever. And if we eat from this, we'll live forever. So let's just eat from it. Look.
وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ
He says to them, look at this, Allahu Akbar. And he swore to them, I am truly your sincere advisor. He's a sincere advisor? Allah musta'an. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us.
فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ
So he brought about their fall through deception. He deceived Adam and Hawa. I'm just here to advise you. I'm like your friend. And hey, Allah, you know, would make you from those who are immortal, and you would live forever. You'd become angels if you eat from this tree. And I'm telling you, Allah sent me, hey, I'm your representative, right? And look, and when they tasted the tree, they, you know, their bodies, their nakedness became exposed to them, right? They now realized each is naked, prompting them to cover themselves with the leaves of paradise. Then their Lord called out to them. Allah calls out to them, right? أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ He says, didn't I forbid you from that tree? And didn't I tell you that Shaytan is your sworn enemy? Look at what they respond. This is the key for tonight's session. Their response is,
قَالَ
They say, both of them, not just Adam, not just Hawa, no, both of them, they say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين
They turn to Allah in dua. Immediately, my brothers and sisters. Remember we were talking about the angel here? And I know I'm passionate about this today, but the angel waiting to write down the things that we do wrong, this angel didn't even have the chance to do it. Adam and Hawa showed us all the human beings. If you make a mistake, what did they do? Immediately,
رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا
Immediately they call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have wronged ourselves.
وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا
And if you don't forgive us and have mercy upon us,
لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ
We will certainly be of the losers and those who have, you know, lost at this game of life. That is the key for tonight, my brothers and sisters. If Adam and Hawa were in paradise, and committed a sin that they were warned of, like a direct warning from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them, right? We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them, right? If that's the case for them, then what about us? Whatever sins we've committed, whatever mistakes we've made in life, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to forgive us. We just need to ask. I know I said I was going to stop for some questions, but I will open it up to take three questions, the first three that I see, inshallah, because that is all the time that we have for today. But I will take three questions because I said that I would. And tomorrow, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's a Friday, I hope I'll have a little more time to dedicate to Q&A, inshallah. Zakah question. My savings in shares got reduced in market value. Okay, so for zakat questions, I would encourage you to go to nzfcanada.com. Okay, they will have a perfect breakdown for you so that you can figure out how to and if you need to pay zakat. Okay, can you use your inhaler while fasting? And can you clarify what you meant yesterday about tahajjud and the minimum being zero? If I wanted to pray tahajjud, what is the minimum that makes it tahajjud? Okay, so inhaler. Okay. It is permissible to take a Ventolin puffer, okay, the gas puffer, but just make sure that you take it, inhale it into your lungs, and exhale, and then rinse your mouth, okay? Rinse your mouth out, because none of the residue, you don't want that to be, you know, swallowed. Also, with regards to the inhaler, just make sure you're not going to use the powder ones. The powder ones will break your fast, okay? The powder ones will break your fast, like the disc that you crack, that will break your fast, okay? And then the last part of the question was tahajjud. Yes, I said zero. That was lightheartedly. Like if someone's not able to pray, then zero, right? But the minimum amount, two. If someone's able to pray four, then four. But what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray on a regular basis was eight, right? That was for the most part, eight, sometimes 10, sometimes 12, right? Plus witr. Okay. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray really long raka'ah. Okay, so the first raka'ah, he would recite Surah Al-Fatiha, then Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah Al-Imran, and then Allahu Akbar, go into ruku'. So subhanAllah, let's try to make sure that we pray what we're able to pray in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Is it permissible to play the recitation of the Quran during Taraweeh at home, like on our phone? So if you're going to play it in order to follow it, then no, you're not going to be following it that way. That wouldn't be permissible. But if you're just praying, you know, if you're just playing, as in listening to someone else's recitation while they're leading Taraweeh, then that is permissible, of course. What is the reason we fast till Maghrib and not until Isha? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that, and that's why we do it, right? So we fast until Maghrib because we learned that through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Isha is way too late, right? It's from the time that there's light in the day until the light goes away, okay? And last question we'll take from here. So I took one question from each platform, or each one of the devices, I should say. My dad is over 87 and he is still fasting. Is it okay to ask him to not fast because he's very low in energy by the end of the day? Look, if he is not able to, if he's old, then yes, he can, you know, be exempted from fasting if he finds it very difficult upon him and he's not able to. However, if he's able to, I know some people that are elderly and they're fasting, no problem. I know someone who's almost 90 and he's fasting, no issues at all. Alhamdulillah. So every single person's case is differently. I can't answer that for you because I don't know him and I don't know his situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. However, if he is elderly and it's difficult for him and he's having a really hard time and struggling, then he would be able to eat and not fast, but he would have to pay, you know, to feed someone every single day, one meal for what he has missed of that day of fasting. That is all the time that we have. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please use the last few minutes for dua. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.